mattered on this earth? What am I leaving behind? How has my life made a difference in this world? And that's what we want to focus on this morning. We're talking about living passionately for God. Lord, help us. Help us with this word in Jesus' name. Living passionately for God. Romans 12:11. Never be lacking in zeal. Be enthusiastic in serving the Lord, keeping your passion toward him burning bright. Well, I'd like to read that again. And I apologize, by the way, our screen should be fixed by next Sunday. I apologize for that. Never be lacking in zeal. Be enthusiastic in serving the Lord, keeping your passion toward him burning bright. I also want to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And you could just jot these verses down and check them out later. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. This is Paul coming towards the end of his life, Paul the Apostle, looking back over his life and reflecting and saying these immortal words, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing, have looked forward to his coming back again. I did a little word study on that word appearing, who have loved his appearing. It's the word epiphany. It means a manifestation of the presence of God, both in his coming, his first coming, and also the manifestation of Christ's second coming. Somebody say amen. The first coming was an epiphany, and the second coming of Christ is also going to be an epiphany. It's going to be a manifestation of the glory of God, and I don't want to miss it. Hallelujah. Paul said we're going to receive a crown if we have loved his epiphany and will love in the future his epiphany, and we are loving right now the manifestation of God in this church. Hallelujah. Past, present, and future. God is looking for a people to interact with in a very intimate way. God is looking for someone that he can reveal his glory to. When Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, and then he testified about his conversion before the Gentiles and various kings in the book of Acts. In one particular case where he is describing to one of the kings what happened to him, he said, I heard a voice from heaven saying, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? I am the Lord Jesus whom you are persecuting. And then he said, what do you want me to do, Lord? And the Lord told him about what was going to happen, that he was called to be a servant of God. And he says, I want you to testify of what you have seen of me today. And if you read this scripture in the Aramaic, get this. I want you to testify about what you have seen of me today in this bright glory that shone from the sky that knocked you off your horse and onto the ground. And that which I will reveal to you in the future. I want you to speak about what you have seen of me in your initial experience of salvation and what I will show you about me as we go forward. So, I mean, we all know we're saved in this place, right? But my question is, what has God been showing you since you've been saved? What has God been showing you about himself? Paul, I want to reveal to you things that have to do with your salvation, but also things that I need you to tell the world about, which I'm going to show you in the future, because this is an ongoing epiphany. Epiphania, I think they say in Latin. It's an epiphany. We're dealing with God. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John were there, and Jesus was glorified, and he was transfigured into his glory. They saw him for who he really was in all of his fullness, his power, his radiance, his purity, his holiness. And it's blinding. It's blinding to see God in all of his power. No wonder people fell down prostrate before God when God revealed himself or appeared to them. But it says that they were sleepy. They were sleeping. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. This is not in my notes. This is free of charge right now, okay? And they were sleeping. They were in the garden with Jesus. And there was an epiphany. There was a manifestation of the agony of the Son of God, whose sweat fell to the ground as drops of blood, and they were sleeping. Have you missed the epiphany? And the Bible says, I love these words in the story of the Transfiguration, it says, when they became fully awake, they saw his glory. That'll preach right there. When they became fully awake, they saw his glory. We want to see your glory. Hallelujah. How many of you want to see the glory of God? How many of you know that this generation needs a manifestation of the sons of God? Hallelujah. There needs to be a revelation of the power and the goodness and the plan and the purpose of God for every generation. For every generation. Look around you. The world has never been worse off than it is right now. We don't even want to start about listing all the things that are wrong in this world. But what I'm saying is there are so many critical reasons to make sure that we don't fall asleep. There are so many important reasons. Your family depends on it. Your own life depends on it. The future of the world depends on it. There are people that you haven't even met yet, that God has established a divine appointment for you to meet them in the future, and you don't want to miss that appointment. But if you're half asleep, you could miss it. When you walked in here today, we checked your temperature. Don't shoot. Bang, bang. That's just me being silly, all right? But we checked everybody's temperature, their physical temperature, walking in this room today. But my question is, what is your spiritual temperature? What is our spiritual temperature? Wouldn't it be something if if God is up there in heaven with this thing and says, didn't do any praying this week. Okay, I see that you said a few choice words, very colorful language. And over here, no forgiveness this week. You still held on to that grudge. No prayer. Oh, no Bible reading. God doesn't have a gun, but he does have a Holy Spirit who checks the temperature of our heart. And I'm not here to criticize or to be judgmental, but I am here to wake the church up because I'm trying to wake myself up. And I'm never ashamed of a sermon that I preach if I can preach it to myself first. And I'm preaching this to myself as well. There are so many causes out there that require fire. Fuego, they say in Spanish. Somebody, is that right? Fuego. Poder. All right, got the Spanish people. Those are the two words I know in Spanish. That's it. The world needs some people that are on fire. Some passionate people. Some people have zeal for God. Jesus was so zealous for his father's house, he threw the money changers out. He took a whip and he chased them out. He says, you're turning my house into a marketplace, into a den of thieves. He chased them out because of their crooked dealings. In the garden, Jesus was zealous for the future of the world. He was passionate. It's called the Passion Week. What was Jesus passionate about? He was standing in the gap between hell and heaven. He was interceding for you and me who are sitting here this morning comfortably here, saved today without any shame or any guilt because Jesus paid a price. Imagine if he had quit. Imagine if he had quit on the way to the cross or in the garden. He turned to the Father. He said, I have finished the work you gave me to do. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's what I want to do. How about you? Hallelujah. Your life is about to make a difference in this world. I say it to you by faith, prophetically. Your life is going to make a difference in this world. Your future is God's preferred future. God has a preferred future. The enemy wants you to have his future. future of discouragement, a future of tiredness, a future of weakness, a future of depression, a future of giving up on the promise of God. But God also has a vision for your life. How many of you would rather follow God's vision for your life? Oh, my goodness gracious. No comparison. That's what I was going to say. Thank you, Pastor Angela, for helping me preach this morning. Jesus confronted the evil and injustice of his day. He was a champion of the poor, the downcast. You notice there was no class distinction with Jesus. The poor people heard him gladly. Children, women who were considered second class, unfortunately, in that time, in that culture, were considered like second class. Samaritans were considered a despised race. There was racism in the Bible, come on, in those days. And Jesus did not look at the lepers that way or anybody who was sick. When he saw a leper, the man fell on his face. He said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You can make me whole. Jesus said these beautiful words, I am willing. Bam! He put his hand right on his head. Woo! God doesn't see any class distinctions. See, that's what the world is going crazy about right now. We are one in the bond of love. We are one in Christ. There's one human race and there's one blood. Hallelujah. Black and white and Asian and Hispanic, wherever we are from, we are one. Don't you dare look down at your brother. Don't you dare. Don't you dare look down at somebody that Jesus shed his blood for. How dare we look down at a child of God? Every life is precious to God. The poor, the downcast, the marginalized. He confronted the hypocrites. Oh, but they didn't like it. Somebody say they didn't like it. He got up in their face, as you would say in the Bronx. Come on now. He got up in their face. And they plotted to kill him. But Jesus modeled the greatest love the world has ever known. He washed his disciples' feet. Even Peter, who denied him, and Judas, who betrayed him. Can you imagine knowing ahead of time, okay, this guy is going to betray me unto death. He's a real traitor. But let me go over and wash his feet. How many of you know that would not be easy? What a model of love he was for all of us. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. I want to be that way. Hallelujah. God has a plan for my life. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to be able to say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I believe there are generations of people that are counting on us to bear the torch for this generation and to pass it on to the next generation. Should we be concerned about if we are carrying out our mission? Yes, we should. We should be concerned if our passion is slipping. Jesus gave the beautiful story of the woman who was persistent in the Bible, Luke chapter 11, I believe it is, called the importunate widow. Some of you have read the story, I'm sure. And she was the one who kept on knocking on the judge's door. He didn't want to bother. I think it was at night, and he had gone to bed. And besides that, he was unjust. He was an unjust judge. He was a crooked man. He was uncaring. He didn't care about her. He just was a politician. Uh-oh, God help me. I just said it. I mean, a bad politician. There can be good politicians, too. Come on. Not too many amens. Everybody say, yes, there can be a good politician. Yes. I mean, Daniel was a politician, and he was a good one, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the government of Babylon. But in any case, this woman would not give up. Even though this judge was a miserable person, she wanted justice and she wanted her prayers answered. And Jesus concludes, he says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? And in that same context, in Luke chapter 11, he says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. And he uses the story, this parable of this woman, as an example how we shouldn't give up. It's an example for us how we should not give up. This woman didn't have money. She didn't have, connections. She didn't, know rich and famous people, but she had a fist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She had a little fist, and she kept on waking that guy up. Give me justice. Give me justice. Hear my case. Protect me from my avenger. Protect me from my adversary. That's what she kept saying. And he finally got up. And then Jesus said, if that unjust man answered this woman's request, how much more will your Father in heaven hear you when you cry out to him? How much more will the holy and just and loving God of heaven hear your prayers if you don't give up? Say, if I don't give up, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Prophecies are being fulfilled as we are sitting here. In our day, in our lifetime, there are so many dramatic prophecies in the world being fulfilled. As Pastor Angela mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Israel is God's timepiece. When the nation of Israel was reborn in 1948, it was like God just setting the clock for the countdown. Everybody say the countdown. The countdown is already happening. We don't know the day or the hour, but we do know the signs of the times. There are signs of the times. There are alignments of nations. We just heard just this week about Israel and the United Arab Emirates signing a peace treaty. Historic. An historic alignment. We know that Russia has moved into Syria, which is only a few hundred. They have a military presence in Syria right now. And Syria is only a couple of hundred miles from Israel. We know that Turkey has turned radical Muslim and has turned that great famous church, I forgot what it's called again, I can't think of the actual name, but that has been a bastion of Orthodox Christianity for 800 years, I believe it is, has turned it back into a mosque and has become an adversary now of Israel. And Iran, there's no question, they want to see the destruction of Israel. So this alignment is happening in our eyes. Then the Bible talks about wars, earthquakes, pestilence. Anybody ever hear of COVID-19? Violence, persecution, hatred, racism, lawlessness. People making up the rules as they go. We're seeing a lot of lawlessness right now in our country. And this one is a big one. The love of many will grow cold. Because of lawlessness, people are not going to love God the way they should, and they're not going to love people the way they should. And only you or I can check the true temperature of our love. In other words, I'm not here judging you because I don't know. I have enough of a hard time keeping myself right with God. How many of you know that's a full-time job? Keeping myself right with God is a full-time job. I spend a whole week just preparing for one message, sometimes more than a week, because I want to make sure when I get up here to speak, I'm not just being a hypocrite, but I'm speaking what I really believe. And I hope you feel that today. I hope you feel that I'm sincere about this. I'm for real about this. The love of many will grow cold. We don't know exactly when Jesus will return, but there are signs in the heavens, there are signs of earth, and one of the most scary signs is the moral condition in the last days. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the sons of man. As a woman who is pregnant in labor feels the birth pangs, so there will be contractions and labor. And then for a time, it'll seem like everything's okay. But then the pain will get even stronger, and the frequency will go more frequent as well. That's what we're experiencing, labor pains right now. And my heart is just telling me to plead with everyone in the church, get right with God. Get right with God. Get right with God. The Bible says we need to flee the wrath to come. God has not ordained the church for wrath, but the church has responsibility to keep itself as a pure bride for Christ. Oh, that's profound. Somebody ought to jump out of their chair right now. Pastor Dave, that was good preaching there right now. For you in the at-home audience, I'm not crazy. I actually do that all the time. If you were to come here, you would know. That's normal for me. But seriously, there are so many things that sin has impacted our world. And this is a word the Lord gave me this week to say this in front of you. Sin leaves a mark that only God can erase. Only God can erase your sin. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, truth is relative. You know, we create our own truth as we go along. What's good for you may not be good for me. My essence is not the same as your essence, whatever that means. I have no idea. Your truth is not the same as my truth. I have no idea what that means. But let me tell you something. I'm going to just prove this to you right now. Are you ready? Why do you still think about something you did 20 years ago when you hurt somebody? Why is that memory still in you? When you know you hurt somebody, you did something wrong, even though Jesus has forgiven you. We're not preaching condemnation. Thank God we're righteous by the blood of Christ. But sin leaves a scar. Sin leaves a scar. Thank God the blood of Jesus washes us. But don't ever trivialize sin. Don't ever think that sin is not a big deal. You know, it shocks me sometimes how people can rationalize their own behavior. You know, have you ever heard somebody talk like this? Well, I talked to God and I told God this here and I told God that. Yeah, I talked to God and I told him this and I told God. Who are you? Who are you that you talk back to God? Fall on your face before him. Come on, somebody help me here that I'm preaching the right stuff this morning. Fall on your face before God. Daniel fainted in the presence. He fainted. He had no breath left in him. The angel helped him when he had that prophecy of the end times, Daniel. And the angel said, come on, Daniel, get up. Come on, get up. And Daniel says, how can you speak to me? I'm a mere man. I have no breath left in me. I am about to faint. We need to remind ourselves of how great God is, how big he is. And never reject his love. Never reject his love. Because hell is not prepared for people. It's been prepared for the devil. It never was prepared for people. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. However, if you continuously reject God's love for you, and you reject his truth, and you reject his son, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to God. It's not by our good works. It's not just by believing in some kind of universal divinity or human divinity or something of that nature. Not everyone is good in their own way. No, there's sin that put Jesus on the cross. That was a historical event. Those were real nails that went through his hands. That was real blood that Jesus shed. Why? Because sin is so bad. The only way to erase iniquity in the heart of man, Jeremiah said, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? How can it change? Only the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God. Thank God we have a remedy. Hallelujah. But please, church, do not trivialize the goodness of God. Do not reject the goodness of God. The Bible says the goodness of God should lead us to repentance. God, you're so good, I can't dare hold a grudge. How can I act that way, Lord, when you died for me? I want to close this morning, and we may continue again in the weeks to come, but I just want to take some time. Our brother Matthew, who's an angel right now, he's God's angel to help us with worship. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. I want us to spend some time It's early. We have enough time to renew ourselves in God's love today, to search our hearts. One of the first ways to guard your passion or renew your passion for God, that's what we're preaching about this morning, guarding and renewing your passion for God, is first of all to be honest with yourself. Everybody say, that's step number one. Step number one. Let God shine His unfiltered, unedited light. Don't be one of these people that rationalize, well, I told God this and I spoke to God. Yeah, God's okay with this. What does the Bible say? What does His Word say? What does the Bible say? What does the Holy Spirit say? Can you be in the presence of Almighty God and feel unashamed because you know that your faith is in Jesus, but you've also lived in a way to please Him? You're not hiding stuff in your closet. Come on now, somebody say amen. You're not hiding that grudge. You're not holding on to that sin. You're willing to humble yourself, willing to let go of pride. Pride is one of the most insidious things. Pride was the part of the original sin of Satan. Rebelled against God because of the pride in his heart. He said, I will be like the Most High God. I will abide in the mountain of the holy mountain with God. And God said, uh-uh, you will be cast down. You will be cast out. Somebody say amen. Pride. You know, as I look back over my life, there have been several strategic moments where pride almost did me in. I'm just getting really honest right now. I hope I've been honest all the way, but this is very personal. Pride almost took me out. I would not be in this pulpit. I would not have been a pastor if I had given in to pride. If I had given in to my anger, my self-righteousness, my self-pity, add anything after the word self, and it's probably not a good thing unless it's self-submission to God or self-humility. That's good. Would you stand with me right now, church? Let's sing this together. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will shine His light in our hearts today. I am not alone. I am not alone. Your spiritual temperature. Your spiritual temperature. Has your fervor for God cooled off? Has your love for people cooled off? Has your faith gotten weak? The Bible says, lift up those weak hands. Hallelujah. Lift up those limping hands. Strengthen those feeble knees. God has grace for you today. Somebody say, God has grace for me today. He will not break a bruised wheat reed. You might say, I'm just so weak. I'm like a piece of, a reed or a piece of grass that's bent over. It's ready to fall apart. Or I'm a flickering flame. My flame is almost going out. Jesus says, I will not break a bruised reed. I will restore it. Hallelujah. I will not put out a flickering flame. I will ignite it. Hallelujah. But you got to be willing to embrace His grace. Is anybody with me this morning? Lord, I want that flame of God to be burning in my heart. Put your hand on your heart. Say this way. I want the flame of God in my life. I want the fire of God. I want the zeal, the passion for the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Come on, say this with me. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Jesus said it in the garden. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. If he said it, we should say it too. Amen. I want to be hit like him. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I don't want to know Jesus from a distance. I don't want to just be an admirer. I don't want to be in the fan club of Jesus. We got a lot of people in this world who are in Jesus fan club, but that will not get you to heaven. Somebody say amen. Jesus is looking for disciples, for followers. I am not alone.
Says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So we don't want false guilt of the enemy. No, and we reject that in Jesus' name. But the discipline of the Lord, it may be uncomfortable, but it's a sign that you're alive spiritually. It's a sign that you're a child of God, and it's a sign that he loves you. You know, you're not going to discipline your neighbor's children, but you will discipline your own. If you love them, right? So don't feel uncomfortable. I shouldn't feel uncomfortable. If God is working on something in my heart, help me, Lord. I can't even do this on my own. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us live a godly life. So God, we just thank you for your word today, Lord. We are taking our spiritual temperature, Lord. I didn't realize that Pastor was going to speak about that, and I spoke about the person I talked to who said that just watching church online has gotten kind of old now. God, help us never to lose our fervor. Help us never to lose our desire to please you. Help us never to lose our desire to be in your house and to worship you and to do your bidding and to be used by you, God. And we say all this in humility, because this is not just the determination of a strong person. It is a person who is submitted to the Holy Spirit. It says, Lord, help me. Even in my weakness, Lord, help me. That's what I say this morning, Lord. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, our weakness, the weak are made strong. So we thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you that you're helping us to live a godly life, a pleasing life, a purposeful life, God. A life that has meaning and excitement and zeal and adventure. Hallelujah. Boy, it's something good. It's something awesome. Thank you, Lord, that we're never too young or we're never too old to live a life that's exciting in you, Lord, pleasing to you in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen. Let's just say this little prayer together, if you would, as we close. Say, Lord Jesus, I want all that you have for me. Lord, I want to be like that person you mentioned in the Bible. Lord, I want to be like that person you mentioned in the Bible. Say it with me. Who had faith until the door was open. I want to ask. I want to seek. I want to knock. I want more of your Holy Spirit in my life. Fill me once again, Lord. Just put your hand on your heart. Say, fill me, Lord, with more of your Spirit, Lord. Oh, God, wash away my weariness. Wash away my discouragement, Lord. May my eyes capture a new vision of you, Lord. May I fall in love with you again, Lord. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a hand of praise. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. I want to especially send a shout out to our media team and Captain Jimmy. We had a lot of issues with the media problems, and I want to thank also Junior, who's helping us, and Tony, yes, who's coming over today.
And can I say a shout out to Sister Enid, who's watching in Hawaii?
All right. God bless you. We will see you Wednesday. Don't forget, in 2 weeks, we're having special prayer and fasting on Wednesday. Not this Wednesday, but the following will be a day of prayer and fasting. Go ahead and give somebody a virtual hug. All right? Love you guys. God bless you. Lord be with you.